Would you turn with me tonight to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15? Luke chapter 15. This is three different stories, really three different scenarios of some situations that really show us the heart of God. That He is a God that goes after us, that does not leave us alone. He wants us to come back to Him, especially when we find ourselves moving in a direction that maybe we shouldn't. So we're going to look at that tonight. We want to see His heart as a shepherd, as one that seeks after us, but He also wants us to do our part, and we'll look at that as well tonight. And so with that, Luke chapter 15, Lord, would you bless your word? Would you strengthen our hearts tonight? Would you bring it, God, in such a way that it would minister to each one of us? We want to be fed. We want to go out full of not only your presence, but of your word. God, would you bless us tonight? And we thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Jesus is being hassled at the beginning of this chapter, really from chapter 14, by Pharisees and scribes that they really couldn't understand the people and the company that he picked to hang out with. And it's just kind of a something that he's going to share with them, the importance that he's reaching out. He's reaching out to people around us. You ever look at people, and we talked about that at our staff meeting yesterday morning, that there are times and there are people that are very easy to love. There are others that aren't. And sometimes, of course, we go past the ones that aren't easy to love. We don't want to really, I don't think I want to hang out with them. And yet, God comes in all different kinds of forms and uses people in our life to strengthen us and maybe to rough off some rough edges in us and make us a little bit smoother. And so, God brings those people into our lives. Be open to that. Lord, is this you? Are you into this? And is this from you? So, don't be so quick to put that person down around you, but be open to say, God, I think this is from you. Well, then it starts out, then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and he eats with them. He eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it, until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it aside on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, I have found my sheep, which was lost. And then he says, I say to you likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance. Well, tax collectors, of course, were considered traitors to the nation of Israel at that time. And Israel was a religious place. You know, we can all, you know what? You know what we'll do? I got my phone. I think it's on. Let's just turn them off. Or just reach in your pocket. Just make sure that's off. Click. There it is. I'm just doing that for myself. If you guys want to follow suit, be sure to go ahead. So the nation of Israel is a religious place to hang out with. And of course, sinners were not the most popular people. And tax collectors, of course, they were taxing their own people and giving it to the Roman government. So God was living amongst them, guiding their lives, and he had led them out of Egypt. He had seen that people had realized that the hand of God was on the nation of Israel. But you know what? They couldn't believe that he would hang out with these traitors. He couldn't believe that these sinners would come and he would want to have dinner with them. And yet Jesus felt at home with these guys. Absolutely. He invited them to dine with him. And they were accepted by him. Not every one of us can handle hanging out with probably a bunch of sinners. And I would really encourage you, when you're first saved, when you're first walking with the Lord, be careful. Don't kind of get hung up in the old scene again, because sometimes you get stuck in it. But I'll tell you, Jesus, being God himself that made those people, he was very equipped to go. You know, when people come into our lives and there are sometimes we're not going to go, we're not going to hang out with them, but you know what? We can love these people and don't judge them. Don't condescend to them. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and pray for people that God brings in your life. There are times that maybe you're getting ready for work, things that you're coming, and there's a person that is coming to your mind. Maybe that person, I don't know if I like that individual. Yeah, that person was kind of... But for whatever reason, that person comes to your mind. They're coming to your mind for a reason. Pray for them. Ask God to bless them, to open the eyes of their heart that they could understand. I would say you and I may be the only Bible this world will see in some of their lives. Be careful. Don't be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. Ask the Lord to come and be with you, direct your path, and recognize when those people are in your life. I was thinking about Resurrection Sunday and how that afterwards, how that the two men, disciples, were on their way to the road to Emmaus. And as they were on that road, there came one that came alongside and said, "What's been going on? What's happening?" And they said, "Do you live in a bubble? Haven't you heard Jesus of Nazareth? How that our leaders took and they crucified him." And he just really asked him. He didn't say much. These guys didn't push him away. They invited him along on the road that they had. You know, as they began to invite him, he began to speak to them, began to share with them out of the Word of God. Later on, when they came to the place that evening, they said, "Stay with us. Stay with us." God comes in all kinds of different ways. We need to not only invite him in, but we need to allow him to stay. Stay with us. Stay close to them. You know, if you find yourself being too good for other people, or how about judging others? I would never do that. I would never find myself doing what that person is doing. You know, be careful. The Bible says that God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You know, sometimes we see in public that a pastor falls, and it's a tragic event. Boy, I'll tell you, it's funny that you read some of the blogs, and people are so cruel. I mean, just merciless. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, by the grace of God, there go us, there go me. And be careful. Pray for those people. Pray for those that go through that. Pray for their families. You know, those are times of just being restored, and ask that God does that. Well, verse 4, it says, notice that this shepherd goes out, this good shepherd goes out, a man of having 100 sheep. If he loses one, he goes out and leaves the 99 in the wilderness and goes after the one which was lost until he finds it. I mean, this is just a real picture of going after that sheep. I'm going after that one. And he's not going to stop until he finds it. This last week, I've been reading a book by a fellow named Keller. Anybody ever heard of him? He writes this book called A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. If you've not read that book, I'll tell you, find it, Amazon, order it through our bookstore. It's probably about 35 years old, and I read it many, many years ago. But I started reading it this week, and it's just a wonderful book about a shepherd, how that he cares for his flock. And he gets to know all those sheep names, many of them. Some of them are his personal pets. But he wakes up in the morning, speaking when in the Middle East there, he wakes up in the morning and he begins to just look and scans the area looking at all his sheep. He knows them. He knows what they're like when they're beginning to be cast down, or maybe they're on their side and they can't get up. He's looking at them. He's able to count them. And of course, this shepherd had made a count that morning and recognized that one of his sheep was gone. And he goes out, and he's not going to stop until he finds it. He trusts that the rest of his sheep are going to stay put. And he goes out and he begins to go after that sheep until he finds them. When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders. Check this out. I mean, it's not really one of those big giant things, but probably a picture of a very small ewe lamb. Places it on his shoulders. He doesn't want to hassle. You know, I don't want you running away. I don't want you going some other way. So he brings that sheep close to him, puts it on his shoulders, and starts heading back to the rest of the flock. And there are times I am told that if that sheep is one of those that keeps running away, keeps moving out, in a wrong direction that's going to get himself into trouble, that there are times that he has snapped its leg. It sounds cruel. It sounds harsh. And then he puts it over his shoulders. And when he takes the rest of the flock and calls them out, he has that little ewe lamb on his shoulders and takes it around and allows that sheep to become very, very close to him, dependent upon him. God does that with us sometimes, that sometimes we can move in a direction and the Lord says, you know what? I want you to come back. And I'm going to do something sometimes to bring us close. David the psalmist said, it's been good that I've been afflicted, that I can come and see you. The Lord does that to us. Sometimes he does afflict us. Well, the good shepherd noticed. He goes after them. And when the shepherd would find them, he generally, his rod and his staff, the Bible say, comforts me. The rod is like a club. It's a very small instrument. It wraps usually many times around his wrist. And the staff as well, you know what that looks like. It goes up. It's probably this high, has a curve on it. And it's made very, very important piece of tool that shepherd uses. Sometimes he reaches down and he can grab that sheep and pull him up. Sometimes they fall into the water, begin to move in a wrong direction, and he pulls them back. And sometimes with that club or with that rod, as he's sitting there, he's very skilled with it, as David was. And he'll take that rod. That sheep begins to move out and begins to go in another way as the rest of the flock is going that way. He'll take that rod and he can just fling it, and it'll go right past that sheep's head and scatter right back to the rest of the sheep. So he knows how to use those instruments. Many times he takes his staff and he walks along with the sheep, those that are his pets, those that he loved, and he holds it against their side, and they love it. They love it. And it just makes them feel secure. They know that their shepherd is there and caring for them. You know, as we begin to recognize that he does put those sheep on his shoulders, he calls us. He calls each one of us by name and brings us back to himself. Well, verse 5, he says, and when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders. And when he comes home, he calls his neighbors and friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, I have found my sheep. I don't know many people that go next door, man, I lost this thing, man, but I found it. It's the coolest thing. You know, the other day I had my front door open. This story kind of reminds me of it. And we have a little dog named Daisy. Daisy's kind of a Cocker Spaniel, Cockapoo mixed, and very fast. But she loves to kind of play with the other dogs in the neighborhood. But she'll go right on our property, doesn't go off it, just goes on the front yard and just sits there and just waits for somebody to come by, looking at things and just checking out the neighborhood. And we keep the front door open. I was sitting in the den, the front door was open, Daisy's out in front, and all of a sudden I hear these kind of, the toenails of her paws rattling up against the door and against the floor and racing into the house, but I could hear a couple of them. And as I'm sitting there, I see not only Daisy running in and going out into the backyard, but there's a little golden retriever pup that's following her in as well. And I thought, boy, that's interesting. And I looked at the dog, and they're running around the backyard, and I thought, that's interesting. And I wonder whose dog that is. I've not seen it in the neighborhood before. So I walked out in front, just looked around to see if I saw a person coming this way or that, and I didn't. Nobody there. So I sat out there for a while, went back in, tried to read the little tag, and he kept pulling away and racing, chasing our dog. And finally, I went back out in front, probably about 5, 6, 7 minutes later, and there is two guys coming down the street with a skateboard, probably that long, and they're calling their pet. And I said, are you missing a dog? And they said, yes! And anyway, I said, well, why don't you come on in the backyard? Let's take a look. So we walked up. Is that my phone? Go ahead. Anyway, so we walked up. And we went into the backyard, and this guy saw this dog out there. And I mean, he was like the good shepherd. He was so happy. He rejoiced over it. I mean, it was just awesome. And there are times that it just really reminds me of that. He was so happy to find that dog. He couldn't believe it. And he was asking me about the backyard and stuff like that. But it's like that, that there are times that God just wants us to come back. He wants us to rejoice. And so, as he did that, God wants to rejoice with us. So I say to you likewise, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance. And then he goes on, verse 8, of what woman having the silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. Well, it's kind of a picture. You know, back then, at that time, they would give a lady, one that was getting married, she would receive a gift of 10 silver coins, coins that made up a set. They had impressions on them. I mean, you did not want to end up with 9 of them. You wanted the whole 10 set. And it was very important that they had them. If it wasn't, it wasn't complete. Well, she goes and she recognizes that one of them's missing. She's probably looking around the house and saying, who's been messing with the coins here? And she has to light a lamp because those houses, many of them, did not have windows in the bedroom areas and some of the other rooms in the house. So she lights a lamp and then she begins to sweep. Some of them didn't have the floors in them. Some of them were dirt floors. Many had kind of leaves on the floor, so it would be hard to see that coin. But she would begin to sweep with one of those kind of brooms that you maybe would see in Vietnam or in the Middle East or so forth. It was made out of a plant. And she starts sweeping until she found that coin. You ever lost your keys before? You ever seen, where's my car keys? You know, that happens to me quite often. I've got a pretty good spot right by the back door when I walk in. I put them there and pretty much. But can you imagine after about 10, 15 minutes, you're on your way to church and you've lost your keys. You can't find them anywhere. And you don't even know where your spare set is. And you're going around the house. And I used to probably get, man, where is that? And I'm starting to get kind of brutal. I'm picking up that, where is that? You know, and you lock around. And then you find that after a while, man, what did I do with it? Then you find yourself, man, I'd pay anything I could to get that key back. And then it's, you know, you're thinking, I'd give somebody 10 bucks if I could find that key. And I think I paid my kids that one time many, many years ago. If you, hey, anybody find the keys, I'll give you $5, man. And there, man, their boys are just spreading out, man. They're looking for dad's keys real quick. And, you know, but that's how it is. Man, she was looking for that coin, and finally she finds it. She finds it. And, man, she tells her neighbors, man, rejoice with me. That 10 set that I had, that was my collection. I love. And here it is. I found the coin that fits. Last year they had the women's retreat. Any women went to last year's retreat? That was a tough time for me without my wife. But let me tell you, it got tougher. It got tougher. We have a little tortoise at home. It's a desert tortoise. And this tortoise, we've had it. It wouldn't be so bad, but we've had it since it was an egg. We had a whole bunch of them, but this one is our last one. All the other ones found new homes. Voluntarily or involuntarily, you know, got out and gone. Anyway, I just happened to leave the gate open for a few minutes, and out he went. And I was cleaning up the house, making everything perfect. My dear wife is coming home, and I want everything just right. And the tortoise is gone. I go, great, this is not going to be fun. Anyway, I put a sign in the front door, lost tortoise, desert tortoise. And I had it in the front. And man, my wife gets home and goes, what's going on? And I go, well, honey, got good news and bad news. Well, got the place cleaned up. Hope you like it. Bad news is the tortoise is gone. The house didn't make any difference, man. What? Where's the tortoise? And anyway, it wasn't a fun time for me. And so anyway, we made a bigger sign, and people would come by and knock on the door. Hey, did you find your tortoise yet? I noticed you got your sign out here. No. Finally, a week later, I'm looking in the backyard one morning and I've got some coffee in my hand and I look out and there's a mound of dirt over in the garden area and there's the tortoise. And I'm going, are you kidding? Wow. And I went out and I took a picture with my phone and took a picture of it and sent it to my wife. She's at work. And I said, guess who is coming for dinner? And of course we got the nice, you know, it's one of those things that I say, happy wife is a happy life. happy spouse is a happy house. And so anyway, things turned from bad to good real quick. So anyway, it's like those things that get lost in our life. And we're like that to God. God loves us. God loves us and wants us to come back to Him. And He searches us out. He searches us out. God comes after us. And when He finds us, the difference between us and Him is He knows where we are. He doesn't have to be sweeping the house. He doesn't have to be doing all those things. He knows where we are. And His hand is on us. His hand is on us. We're going to see in this next part of the chapter that He goes after us. And sometimes He allows us to go to such a place that we come to the end of ourselves and we wonder, man, what am I going to do now? You know, what am I going to do now? Well, the only place really to do if you're a child of God is turn around. So our next part of this is if we go down to verse 11. Then he said, there was a certain man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of my goods that fails me or falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. You know, this was something that this father did not have to do until his death. But this younger son, he would get a very much smaller portion of the inheritance than the older son. He would get a big portion of it. But he said, you know what? I'm bored being in this neighborhood. I'm tired of looking out and just having this farm here. There's a city calling out for me. There's something that is out there that I don't have here, and I'm bored with my life. And so he begins to make his way to the big city. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed into a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. In the Greek, wasted means he spread his money out, his possessions. He dispersed it. He dispersed it. And it just went. It dissolved. It was gone. And all of a sudden, he had spent all, the Bible says. And there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. You know, you never know what's going to happen next in our life. This next portion of it, I do have an acronym if you want to use it. It's STOP, S-T-O-P. Sometimes that when we begin to start moving in a direction that maybe we shouldn't be, I believe that you and I can sense the Holy Spirit of God, His presence, beginning to say to you, to me, to stop. Turn around. It's not too late. Stop and turn around. You see, God has a place for you and I. He has a place for us to be as we walk alongside Him, as we follow Him as the good shepherd of our life. You see, He knows the pastures that are up ahead. He knows the places to take us to feed upon. He knows how to lead us besides the still waters, and He knows how to restore your soul. But there are times that you and I think that we know better than Him. I know this direction. This is what I want in life. And yet, we find ourselves just going, you know what? I'm not going to listen to His voice saying to me, stop. I'm not going to listen to that. I know better. I know better. We see his son decides, I've been here long enough. The world is calling out. He packs everything up and he heads on down the road. I wonder if that ever happens to you. It's happened to me that there are times that things are just kind of boring and I want to venture out. I want to see what I'm missing. Probably don't do it too much anymore, but when I was younger, I did. Only to discover you found way more than you were looking for. And you might think, man, it's too late. I've already blown it. I'm way down this road, way further than I thought it was going to go. And now you find yourself, you know what? Why should I even come back? God's not going to accept me. It's not going to accept me. I'm going to really hear it from Him. Let me just say this, that when you find yourself down the road, stop. Stop. And just turn around and come back. Lord, I blew it. It's not just taking your hat off and throwing it in the house and wondering if He is going to accept me. Well, I'm just kind of putting my foot in the door. Are you going to accept me? He's not like that. He's a very loving, loving Father. And He wants us to draw near to Him. Turn around. Don't keep going. You know, the longer we go and the further we go it's harder to come back. It just is. All kinds of things begin to attach themselves, begin to mess with our heads. Turn around, go back. Well, look what it says. It said, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Well, where's your friends now? All your money's gone. They left with that. Then he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him in the fields to feed the swine. And if you were Jewish, that's the worst thing that you could possibly do, is go into the fields and feed swine or even be around them. They didn't want them there. They didn't want Jewish people around that. They were forbidden. You know, sometimes we end up, and it's funny how things can really, really change. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know as we walk with the Lord and we begin to come out from underneath his cover. You see, he says, I'm a shield to you. And when you place yourself behind me and let me guide you and let me be that pillar of fire by night and the cloud in the daytime, and I stay under that, it's a cool thing. But when I begin to come out from under it, and the pillar begins to go this way, and the cloud begins to go this way, and I decide to go this way, things begin to change. Things begin to change. I think everybody in here has recognized that things can change very quickly. And you think, well, it's okay. Nothing's going to happen here. I can venture down this road a while. And you never know what's going to come up. I was sharing with the Marines that a couple of weeks ago down in the city of Huntington Beach, they had what they call a street fair. And during that time, all kinds of people are having, they have booths all set up down Main Street and all kinds of a fun time. And a lady, two ladies, one was walking this way and one was walking this way. One had an Anaheim baseball jersey on and one had a Dodger jersey on. The two don't mix. And as they came by, words were crossed over, and then all of a sudden, a fight broke out. And as that began to happen, they were giving this one girl, probably 3-4-1, a beatdown. She was really getting it. Well, three of our nation's finest United States Marines happened to be walking by. They decided to help and break up, pull those people off there. Let's break this up. They couldn't walk by. They couldn't leave it alone. They had to be a part of it. But unfortunately, somebody came in. Young man came in and decided to defend that and took a bottle and broke it and stabbed one of the Marines right in the face. Now, we have a country and we have a time that everything is photographed, isn't it? People pull their cameras out and they're photographing this. And here's this young man, probably no record, nothing, but decides to do something in a 30-second event. The whole world sees it, and his life is changed forever. Well, yeah, it's going to change those Marines because one is going to be kind of scarred up. But this young man is going to spend probably a pretty good portion of his life in probably a penitentiary because he used a weapon and something deadly harm. All the things, a felony is now on his record. Something that he probably could have avoided, but he didn't. It's making choices in our life. It's allowing, I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to stay behind the shield. I'm going to walk with the Lord. And yes, we're going to go through difficult times. That just happens. It just happens. We live in a fallen world, my friends. But if we stay where the Lord wants us to be, and when that difficult time comes, we don't have to say, well, what did I do? Did I make a mistake? Did I get behind there? It's not that at all. You go, you know, Lord, I know that when I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So we can trust God that he's going to get us through. It's going to get us through. We're in the right place. So the first thing you need to discover, when you're moving out in the wrong direction, you need to stop. God's speaking to my heart. Stop. Well, look if you go down to verse 17. But when he had come to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to my father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm not worthy to make really me one of your hired servants. I'm not even worthy of that. You know, confession is always, always good. That there are times that, you know what, we need to confess before God. I blew it. I was listening to a bishop the other day, and I'm not really in that particular denomination, agree with a lot of things they are, but the essentials of Christianity are there. And he began to talk about one of the things that they want to really bring about and see happen with his parishioners is returning to confessing to God, coming and confessing. And I thought, you know what? That's right on. He said, you know what? God loves us and wants us and is ready to forgive if we come and we confess. But he said, the problem is people are tired of it and they don't want to anymore. So we need to come back to that place. This young man saw that. Confession is good. Come to the Lord and confess it. Get it right with him. He shared, God is ready to do that. So we need to come often to the Lord. Get it right. One of the things that we do at the base chapel on Sunday morning is when the Marines begin to come in, they begin to come in and they get ready. And they're coming in and they're going through a very, very, very harsh training. And we just say, let's spend some few minutes. And we begin to play music. Let's just get right with God. Let's just get it right. This is a new day. And God wants to forgive us. He wants to cleanse our hearts and cleanse our minds. The things that we've seen this week and out in the field and all the things that took place there. We need to have our tanks just filled up with His presence. So let's take time to do that. Let's get a fresh start. Will you make me as one of your hired servants? So in that case, he's heading back to his father. Heading back to his father. Because the father, your father, is the source. He brings the blessing. He helps you get through life. He wants to go before you and prepare the way before you. It's kind of an awesome thing. You see, God will let you go to the end of your chain. And you will never really come out a winner. You just don't. You might think, well, things are going to be okay, as we said. But this is a time that, you know what? You need to turn around. And that's our next part. And stop is, the T is, turn around. I'm going to go back to my father. Turn around. Repent is another word for it. And start heading back. Start heading back. You know, there are times that I was counseling with a Marine. Sunday nights is kind of one of those things. Every other week I stay pretty much all day and into the night. And I was talking to a Marine. He was going to go into Special Forces. Special Forces is just brutal training. It's the hardest. And he said, you know, I've come to a place, I don't want to go into that anymore. But it's on his slate. He had to do it. And of course, he wanted to take a different direction. He wanted to compromise his position as a Marine, almost looking to the point and said, man, I'm going to go over the hill. I'm going to go UA. That means unauthorized absence. I'm going to get out of here, and then I'll come back, and they'll just kick me out, and then they won't do that. And I said, you know, that's not God's way. And you know that, brother. You know that. He says, I know it. I know it. He goes, Pastor, I don't know what to do. He says, I'm in a quandary. He says, I just don't know what to do. And I said, let's give it to God. And we prayed together and we asked God, would you come and would you work in this situation? Would you begin to open up a door that maybe there's a different direction for this? And we just really gave it over to God. And he left that night and went back to his barracks and, you know, with a peace in his heart and says, let's see what God does. The next week I saw him there on Sunday night. He says, you're not going to believe what happened. And of course he began to share how that they walked in and said, do you want to be something different than what you're doing? No, not really. You know, of course he did. And they made him something different that he really wanted to do, and God began to change that around. So it's going God's way instead of the things that we think, well, I'll just do this. Here's a shortcut out of it, and it's not really legal, but it's not the right way. But you know what? God knows. God knows. So we do it his way, and that's where our next point is. Number one, we stop. Number two, we turn around and come back, as this young man did. And then, you know what? We be obedient to the voice of God. Verse 20, it says this, and he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still a long ways off, his father saw him and had compassion, and he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The Greek means over and over and over again. Began to just kiss him. Couldn't believe that he was home. And sometimes it's just being obedient. I'm stopping. I'm turning around. I'm coming back. And the blessings begin to start flowing once again. the provision, the things that God wants to do begin to start happening again. You know, there are times that we just think, well, I'm not going to go back there. I'll tell you, God will meet you. Some of you maybe have come to that place and you're waiting and you're going, man, I'm just, you know, it's okay right now. Nothing's going to happen. He says, things are going to get bad. Turn around before it's too late. Look what the Lord said to the children of Israel, God's people, in Deuteronomy 39th verse. If you again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hands, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book, and the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, God's going to bless your life. It's really in a nutshell there. Well, you might say, I can't obey all those commandments. Well, I'll tell you, as we look to the Lord, you might think, well, I've went too far this time. No, you haven't. Turn around. Turn around. King David said this in chapter 40, the book of Psalms. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me, and he heard my cry, and I also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. The result is God will begin to bless you and bring about, and this is the P in the bank at the end of stop, is he begins to provide for you. He begins to bring blessing, prosperity. And I don't say that to just go, well, God's been prospering, now I'm getting a different car. No, it's spiritual prosperity. He begins to bless us. He begins to be our exceeding great reward. That's how he does it. In 3 John, it says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in good health as your soul prospers. As your soul prospers. I'm not teaching the prosperity doctrine here, but you know what? God wants to bring flourishing, blessing, abundant life within our life as we look to him. So it's one of those things. It's one of those things. Look what happened when this young man returned home. Look at verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe. The best clothes is really what that is, and put on him, and put a ring on his hand. That's really the family signet ring. Put it on his hand, and the sandals on his feet. Obviously, he was barefooted. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Notice a full restoration. We have to be crazy to stay away from the Father's house. We have to be crazy. God wants to bless us. He wants to be that shield to us, wants to be that strength to us. You know, I'm going to ask a couple guys to come up here. Kristen, come up here. Brother, would you come up here too? Just stand right here. Would you come over here? Juan, come on over here for a minute. I want you to stay right here, Kristen. I want you to be, well, let's see how well you know what? You need to get in front, and our brother here needs to be in back. You two guys, you're right in front here. Excuse me. Now, don't let me get Marty, okay? Just keep me away from Marty. I was going to have Marty in the front, and you can see why now. Okay. Marty's got a shield, doesn't he? He's got a shield. The Bible says that I will be a shield to you. Now, Marty, come on out here. Let me have you. Marty's decided, not really, but Marty's decided, you know what? I don't need that shield anymore. As a matter of fact, I've got my own path in life. I know what I want, and I'm going to start walking that way. And he start walking away, and the shield stays back here. What's missing? What should Marty do? Stop, turn around, obey, and get back there. And what happens? God begins to prosper. He begins to bless him again. You know what? God has provided those things for you and I. It's that simple. It's that simple. Be where God wants you. Stay behind the shield, because that's where the Holy Spirit's coming down on Marty when he's behind the shield. He's where he's supposed to be. versus going out and checking everything out and looking under every rock that this world has to offer. Just don't go there. Thank you. Give them a hand. It is simple. You know, I encourage you today that, you know, we can look at the rest of this story, and I just want to look at it very quickly. Here it says, he rose, he went home, and he said, he told his father that, but let's go down. And verse 25, his older brother, his older son, was in the field, and he came and he drew near to the house, and he heard the music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry, and he would not go in. And therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered, and he said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. Well, he's probably not telling the truth there. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, and you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you're with me always, and all that I have is yours. It is right that we should make merry and be glad. Your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. It's really a picture of forgiveness, bitterness that can get into a heart. That's something that you and I need to be careful. And of course, that Jesus is speaking about the Pharisees and the scribes and looking down at other people. You know, we need to come along other people, help other people, be a blessing to them. And as we are, God will bless us. Get our minds off ourselves. I'll tell you, get your mind on other people, pray for them, and you'll find that God just will take care of you. That's just how it is. That's how it works. You reap what you sow. You sow blessing on others, it will come back to you. That simple. Father, we thank you for tonight. Would you help us, God, to be where we're supposed to be, doing what we're supposed to do? Would you help us to be careful to stop and turn around when we find ourselves moving in a wrong direction? Would you help us to be where we need to be? And God, we thank you. We thank you for tonight. We ask your blessing upon your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.